G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kayfabe?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome, everyone, to your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. Hope you all went out and enjoyed local pro wrestling this past weekend. It was a pretty quiet weekend for us up here in Queensland. I think there was only a show on the Friday, which I could not get to because, you know, your boys got to work, but it is what it is. Heard it was a really good show, though. New champion in EC Diamond winning the UPW title back, so congratulations to EC. Again, EC Diamond is one of the most promising up-and-coming young wrestlers in Queensland. And if you are a promotion looking to find some new talent, he is definitely one to look at. He was at Showdown as well, I think, that weekend, that past weekend, and did really well from what I hear. So big things in the future for EC Diamond. This episode is a special one for me because I got in contact with the head of creative at Melbourne City Wrestling, Chris Fresh. And this is a brilliant interview, a great conversation with a really, really smart man. And normally I would sort of prattle on here, and I kind of am, I guess. But I sort of just want to get straight to the interview because a lot of good stuff here. Even talked a bit about Hey Hey It's Saturday, which is probably weird. And somehow we seem to segue Hey Hey It's Saturday into talking about the local product today. So that was, it's kind of weird, but good. before I do go, Buddy Murphy moving up from 205 to SmackDown. So congratulations to him. Be great to see him on a weekly basis on SmackDown. Anyway, enough of that because I thought of Buddy Murphy because Buddy Murphy's Matt Silver MCW, head of creative, Chris Fresh, my guest this week, right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. I am joined tonight by one of the minds behind, well, pretty much the biggest promotion in the country right now, Melbourne City Wrestling, Chris Fresh. How are you doing, mate?
Hello there. I'm doing good, mate. Thank you for having me on. Always happy to have a chat about wrestling if I get my arm twisted.
Actually, before we start talking wrestling, I've got it because I did like a little bit of research because I thought what I'll do is I'll listen to some of his other podcasts, so I sort of know. No. What made you come up with the idea of reviewing Hey Hey It's Saturday?
Okay, yeah. So for those people that don't know, I do a podcast called Hey Hey It's the Podcast. And if you grew up in Australia, sort of in the 80s and 90s, Hey Hey It's Saturday was an institution. And I do another podcast called Geek Dudes. And what happened was a couple of years ago, I saw a newspaper article that Daryl Summers had started a Hey Hey It's Saturday streaming service. And I got a kick out of it, going, that's pretty wild that they just set up a streaming service very specifically that only had Hey Hey It's Saturday episodes. So I subscribed. And after we'd finished recording Geek Dudes, we'd just randomly chuck on an old episode of Hey Hey. And sort of Beavis and Butthead style sit there watching it, just commenting on everything that was happening because it was such a wild flashback to childhood and like teenage years. And they sort of just got to a point where it was like, do you think there's a podcast in this where we sort of, because it really does capture Australiana at a certain point in time. And there's nothing really like it on television today. Like no matter how much they try doing variety and entertainment, like it's hard to explain. I sound old every time I say this, and I realize I am old now.
Yeah, but I'm as old as you, so we're probably in the same boat here.
And our wrestling locker room will make you feel even older.
Yeah,
but the idea, like, you know, pay TV didn't come into Australia until 95, so Hey Hey It's Saturday, there were only like three commercial TV stations, and Hey Hey It's Saturday was the entertainment destination on a Saturday night. Like, there wasn't really Saturday night footy. There wasn't, like, on Saturday night, you either watched Young Talent Time or Hey Hey It's Saturday. And that was it. And like, you'd, as a kid, you'd sit around with your parents, and as you got older, you'd probably chuck it on before you went out to have a night on the booze. And yeah, it it just rekindles every memory I had growing up. And it's so weird, like, you won't have seen the episode for 27 years, and you'll go, I remember this. I can remember watching it, where now we just take in so much content, you can't remember anything. You know, there's just so much for us to consume, where back then it was really limited. So, yeah, I just thought it would be fun to podcast about, and it's actually taken off more than I would have expected.
Do they have, because I haven't actually seen the streaming site, do they have the ones, because I'm old enough that I remember when it was on in the morning.
Yep, it's all on there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think sort of what hurts it is they don't have an app. So, like, I can bring it up on my phone and stream it to my TV and stuff, but I really think unless you've got an app, people just aren't going to take the time. And it's so specific, like, to pay $6.95 a month access the archives of Hey Hey It's Saturday is so specific. I've got a theory that a little buzzer and light goes off in Daryl's house every time somebody subscribes.
I wonder about that. Have you ever heard from Daryl or anything like that? Because I would imagine he'd be right on the radar, like, have Google alerts anytime someone mentions Hey Hey.
You'd think, well, I know Jonesy, who our producer is, Paul Jones, he does a institution of a radio show called The Party Show here on Triple M in Melbourne, Triple R in Melbourne. And Wilbur Wilde is frequently a guest on there, so Wilbur listens. And bizarrely enough, the very first podcast we ever did featured a proposal during Red Faces. And Red Faces was like an Australian Idol-style terrible acts getting judged by guests. And
mind you, some big people actually came in. Well, not big people, but big-ish people came at them. Like that lead singer from 1927 was found on Red Faces.
Yeah. We sound so old right now.
I know. People are like, what's 1927?
It sounds like you have to be born in 1927 to know who that is. So the very first episode we ever reviewed was the first episode of 1994. And there was a proposal during Red Faces. And in a really small world, the guy that did that proposal, it was awkward as awkward could be, he hosts a radio show on 3AW in Melbourne, which is a big Macquarie, it's the biggest AM radio station in the state. And he does a show called Nightline. And they had Daryl Summers on. And he, in his interview with Daryl, said to Daryl, are you aware there's a podcast called Hey Hey It's a Podcast that reviews it? And you could hear Daryl go, what? like, no, I had no idea.
And meanwhile, texting lawyers.
he goes, I had no idea. Can you send me a link to that? And Simon Owen is the guy's name, and he emailed us and said, look, I either did you a really big favor or I've really put you in it, so I'm sorry. but I guess they'd just be happy that somebody's talking about the service, because in a world where we, between Netflix and Stan and the WWE Network and Spotify, and if you don't want ads on YouTube and stuff, we've all got so many subscription services, you really have to start getting picky, and I can't imagine there's many that choose to subscribe to the Hey Hey It's Saturday Network.
Yeah, I actually wonder that, how many subscriptions they would actually have, if it would actually, like, feed the cost of keeping it up there.
I would have thought that it would have been more incumbent that something like a Foxtel would buy the rights and just replay classic episodes.
Mm.
But there's so, like, there'd be music issues, rights fees, there's ads, like, there's so many weird things in there. It's probably a mess to try and sort out. But
not to mention the content was, like, nowadays. Yeah. Because I watch a couple of the ones on, because you can see the YouTube, they put on some of the YouTube, that's how old I am, they put on some of the like highlight shows
that
found their way onto YouTube, and you watch them now and you're like, ooh, like it's funny, but Jesus.
With Molly Meldrum, and like I use this as an example, and I use Hey Hey, but I always say you have to watch it through the lens of it was a different time, and I'm not excusing it, but it really was just a different time. But Kamal, who was a famous Australian Indian entertainer, was a judge on Red Faces, and Andrew Fife was a cartoonist who would draw yes. these quirky cartoons. And his drawing was, the card he drew on was completely black except for the eyes and mouth.
Jesus Christ.
And I was just looking at going, oh my God. like this would be the front page of Herald Sun, and they'd be destroyed on Twitter within seconds.
Yeah.
And ultimately that's what undid Hey Hey It's Saturday. They had a comeback in 2009, which people may be familiar with. And famously, there was an act called the Jackson Jive. And the Jackson Jive were a few guys in blackface dancing and mimicking like the Jackson Five. And Harry Connick Jr. happened to be a judge.
Yes, I remember that.
Said this. And the funny thing is, I know people are going to say this is weird. I think almost any other judge would have just laughed it off awkwardly, and it would have gone by and nobody would have said a word. But Harry Connick Jr. said, yeah, where I come from, this isn't cool, and gave it a zero. And the ironic is, there was actually a Sri Lankan guy, a part of a Jackson Jive, that had white face on. it just showed that, I think, and that was in 2009, like we're 10 years after that now,
yeah.
But in the current environment, just the world's changed, mm. you know, and I always tie that into wrestling as well, like you can get away with stuff that you wouldn't even dream of doing now, and it doesn't make it right that you did it back then, but it was what it was.
It was allowed back then, that's the thing, you didn't know it was wrong.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean. Like,
you can't retroactively go back and correct it, but you can certainly learn and go, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but, you know, WrestleRock's a major example of that. You look at it and I cringe, like when Mikey was saying he was going to upload all of the old WrestleRock shows on demand. I was like, that's going to make Hey Hey look look great. I go, I don't know that they play, like, you know, taking something in that context and just somebody today viewing it without the context of the time. I don't know how that stuff holds up. And Hey Hey It's Saturday at times can be timeless, and at other times you just watch it and go, oof.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's like, I notice with up here in Queensland, we do our grindhouse shows, the R18 shows. We've had to tone them down a lot because of just the way the political climate is nowadays.
Well, I was just to get into, I don't know where you were going to head.
No, we're fine.
When last year, when it was proposed for WrestleRock to come back, and for those that don't know, WrestleRock was an over 18 show at the Corner Hotel that in the mid 2000s was a pretty big deal in Melbourne at its time. And Julian James and I were live commentators, which doesn't really exist anymore. And to say we pushed the boundaries would be an understatement. And the content of the show, like, it was a wink, but it was, you know, we were really going for pushing the line, and we offended a lot of people, and proudly so. And when it was pitched in 2018 to bring it back, a part of me, like, loves WrestleRock, and the opportunity for me to perform, because I've been behind the scenes for so long, it was like, yeah, I'll put on the kilt one more time and do it. But then it was like, how do we make WrestleRock exist in today's day and age? You don't want to do it and not be edgy, but you don't want to be gratuitous in what you're doing either, you know, like, you sort of want to be, it's such a dumb show that you have to be clever about being dumb. And I think Jules and I are transitioning more into Wayne and Garth than anything. But look, we certainly still, like, a part of me, I wrestle with it every day, of that wanting to draw the line in the sand of, no, we go too far with censorship and sensitivity. And another side of me goes, no, it's right that we've said this goes too far. Like, it's that, I guess you're
it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, like, what is the line? What is appropriate? What isn't appropriate? You know, and with MCW, we're constantly juggling because there's the girl shows, there's Wrestle Rock, there's MCW Thornbury, which is the main shows and stuff. And there's certain things you do on certain shows that you wouldn't do on the other. You've got to know your audience.
Yep.
And not just the audience, but also I don't want to do something, you know, anybody who knows Chris Kofi, like the, not Chris Fresh, like the real me, I'm a lefty, you know, and, you know, it's, and, you know, I'm a union member, I vote Labour and stuff, and, you know, I have a social conscience, and sometimes wrestling can trample all over that, and it's like, I don't want to morally compromise things, but I also have to cater to an audience, remain artistically comfortable. Like it's a, I know it's just, people will go, it's just wrestling. And it's like, yeah, you haven't tried booking wrestling. like there's so much thought, and we're in a world of social media now where just say, and I'll use Hey Hey It's Saturday as the analogy. You would watch Hey Hey It's Saturday and you might remember one thing that you're going to talk about at school on Monday. You know, can you, did you remember that? You know, and somebody, oh yeah, I think I saw that. I wasn't going to the toilet when that happened. Where now we live in an age where every thought we have, we can put out there into the ether.
Yeah. You know? Did you see like, that? Oh no, I didn't. Hang on. Here it is. Look, see that? It's easy to do.
And so every statement I make at Wrestle Rock, like 12 years ago, or people are having their beers, they're not going to remember what the idiot funny guy said, you know, just to get a laugh by being controversial.
Yeah.
You know, they just know that they had this freakish reaction of, oh my God, I couldn't believe he just said that, but they can't remember it. Where now I'll get the, I actually say in my commentary of, I'm at Chris Fresh. You can find me. Just tweet me. Let me know. I know. Like, I think we've sort of jokingly become self-aware of, we know.
We're aiming to shock,
but yeah, but even with MCW sometimes we've had some things where it was like, I didn't see that coming, you know, I didn't know certain people were going to feel that way, and maybe if I had have known, we wouldn't have headed down that path. But yeah, that constant instant feedback that you get, and then it's not just the instant feedback, it's the pile-on effect that happens afterwards.
Yeah,
it becomes a snowball rolling downhill, and it's a real big minefield. And I'm not saying I don't love it. You know, you have to love this to do it. But it's such a tough world. It's a tougher than you could possibly imagine because the court of public opinion can make or break you more than ever.
It's such a, especially now with intergender wrestling as well. It's hard to like to mix that in where you got to say to the guys, like, because the guy and the girl that's wrestling, they don't care. They'll just wrestle like a normal match. But you have to say stuff like, you can't really punch her.
Yeah,
you
well,
can't really. I know it's a work punch and it's all that, but yeah, the crowd will.
I guess we haven't sort of spoken about this publicly, but a few years ago, I did an angle where Miami got put to a table.
Yes.
And I always, the story was always going to be that she was going to get her revenge.
Yes.
You know, and that's what people, I think, don't realize is that when we start something, especially with me, because I'm crazy long term with how I do things,
you pay it off.
Yeah, I'm going to pay it off.
Yes.
But the problem is there's no patience. So we did that, and we actually got a written letter from a woman that had gone through abuse. And I know a lot of people will go, oh, but that's one person and she's being unreasonable, and you know, it's, you're doing simulated entertainment, it's not real. That's fine. But they weren't the ones reading this person telling their tale.
Yeah.
Going, she came on a Saturday night for a bit of entertainment and something really hit home with her that made her feel sick in the stomach.
Yeah.
And me being a white heterosexual male can't possibly understand what she's been through. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I felt
for
her. And it was like, it then becomes my job to go, once again, ride that line. But I never want somebody leaving a show feeling like we rawly touched on emotions that they don't want to touch on. Mm. You know, I don't mind people hating Gino Gambino and Sebastian Walker because they're smarmy and evil.
That's what they're supposed to be hated.
But when we're hitting social issues, we have to be, there's a responsibility with that. And I'm not going to get into the debate of whether there should be intergender wrestling or not, because I always say, it doesn't matter what I want. I don't book for me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I book for the wider base. But what I will say is, I don't think you can win either way. You know, and if you're bold enough and progressive enough to do intergender wrestling, I'm the first one to congratulate you on it. And if you decide that's not for your product, I completely understand that side of things as well. And that's where I think sometimes we get lost in, there's no discussion and understanding and middle ground. It's, we all stand and go, this is the right thing to do, and this is how we're going to do it. And what I will say to you is, with wrestling, there's, it's the land of opportunity. Like, independent wrestling is thriving at the moment. And if maybe you don't get what you want from one product, you might get it from another.
Mm.
And that's the beauty of choice. And I think attacking promotions on such sensitive, potential sensitive issues is a little narrow-minded. Now, if a promotion is blatantly racist or blatantly sexist, absolutely call them out as a fan base. But I think when it's something that's grey,
mm,
I think we have to give a bit of leeway on both sides.
Yeah. Especially when it's like, it's something like, you realize the person that's saying this is the protagonist, and at the end of the day, he will get his comeuppance. This is a movie, you know, like, it's a live action movie, really. It's halfway through the movie, Tony Stark is getting beaten down by Ultron. You know, eventually he's going to come back and win it, but you don't go, well, this is it, he's getting beaten, I can't handle this. You wait till the end of the movie for the payoff.
And I know Davis Storm, who I have so much respect for, I think he kind of spoke for a lot of us, which I appreciated, because it's hard for me. I tend not to publicly comment on MCW stuff because you can't win, you know what I mean? And I obviously, this is an exception to the rule when I'm doing an interview. But, you know, if I come out and tweet or make comments about what we're doing, you're just going to get dragged into debating your own stuff, and it's never a good thing. But what I will say is, a lot of people wanted to ruin my Christmas, and I really love Christmas. when Jonah lost to Gino Gambino, you know, I always say with MCW, the only thing that ever gets criticized is the booking. <It's> and try being the booker of MCW. I'm the only department that gets it. People were savage in their ferocity of, but they didn't say we're unhappy a bad guy won. They said the booking team don't know what they're doing, you know, and I think that's a different criticism.
Yeah.
Like, I can understand being mad that Gino beat Jonah. You should be. You know.
we designed it that way.
But I think us as wrestling fans, and I'm a wrestling fan, when we go, this wasn't booked how I want it, that's a really interesting ground to start playing on, isn't it? Like, because undeniably, when we had Slex versus Gino Gambino, and I've never heard the Thornbury Theatre as loud as what it was, and I've stood there when Okada's walked out, right? This place was molten hot for that match, and credit to both of those performers and to Sebastian Walker. You can't get there unless he's taken a few, unless Gino's taken a few scalps on his journey.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's got to build up credibility.
Yeah, you have to do that. And I sometimes think, unfortunately, a lot of people are too impatient to go on the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's because wrestling's different. You know, like, you take in so much content now that on a 3-hour show, like a 3-hour Raw, you get a setup and a payoff in one night.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, I don't want to have to go to an independent show for a full year to see things executed. But what I hope is that people that enjoyed that payoff have a little bit more faith, and it won't always work. Like, I've had so much stuff blow up in my face. But, you know, when it hits, it's amazing.
Yes. Oh, you yes.
know? And it won't always hit, but all I can do is promise the fan base of whenever I start something, I have the best of intentions that it's going to be a journey worth going on.
Yeah. You don't start something at MCW without knowing where you're going to be at the end of it.
I try not to.
No.
Like, sometimes you get your hand forced. Like, I'll be honest, Todd, 2019 has been a nightmare. Like, between people getting opportunities that people never used to get,
yeah,
between injuries, between people just getting burnt out on wrestling, like, I've never had to constantly rewrite like I have in 2019. And that worries me, because it's like, oh, I hope it doesn't start showing in the shows, because I used to be able to sit there quite confidently and go, and Elliot Sexton will tell you this, 2 years out, I'm going to start here and I'm going to get there. And Sexton was the first one I ever did that with. I met with him in February 2014, and I said, in a year's time you're going to do this, and then in a year's time you're going to do that. And I think Big Brendan looked at me like, all right.
Yeah, okay, mate, whatever.
As he's devouring half a cow in front of me and flexing his pecs like it was nothing.
It's so annoying.
And it was like, no, because if we slow down and we do this, we're going to get there. And he went on that ride, and, you know, we got there. But, you know, a flip side to that coin will be, I'll go to start something like the Philippes. And, you know, Tome's going to turn on Stevie and we're going to have the biggest feud ever. And then it's like, oh, we're going to the Farley Dojo for 3 months. It's like, oops. Hey, guess what's happening way sooner than I expected?
Yeah.
Stevie versus Tome. And look, it is what it is. Like, it's the modern wrestling environment. Like, it's, I don't begrudge anybody the opportunities that they get, but it is harder than ever to book long term at the moment, it seems.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. It must be, especially at, not so much for like where I am or where a lot of, but for MCW, a lot of those guys are getting like snapped up in various ways. It's got to be hard to be just go, okay, in 6 months we're going to be here, because in 6 months you don't know if this guy's, well, look, I got a spot in New Japan, I have to go. And like, and you're never going to go, well, you can't, because I've got this. You have to let him do it.
or I've got an opportunity to go to London for 3 months.
Yes.
You know, or I'm going to do a 3 month tour of America. And I can get pissy about it, but you never want to be the person that says to somebody, I don't want you to invest in yourself.
Yes.
And take a chance.
Yes.
You know, but what I will say is, I think sometimes talent in general can underestimate the power of making a name for yourself at home. You know, like, it seems certain people a lot earlier in their careers are taking these chances. And look, maybe it works. Like, I don't know. It's easy for me to say. Like, I'm a married father who has no intention of leaving home.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I try and put myself in my shoes of when I was 21, what would have I done? It probably would have been anything. So, like, it's easier said than done. But I do think, you know, with RCW, you know, Wrestle Rampage, EPW, PWA, MCW, you know, we just saw PCW draw an amazing house.
Mm.
You know, like, more than ever, there's a chance to stand atop really top flight promotions in Australia and make a name for yourself and get noticed that way. And it can happen. You know, like, the thing, I know nobody's built like him, but the thing I'll say to you is, name me an independent promotion that Elliot Sexton worked at around the world. Yeah. He didn't.
No.
He made his
name. Aside from, like, Progress or...
Yeah, yeah. Like, but for the most part, he made his name here. But then again, I also understand nobody's built like a Greek god.
Yeah.
He is. And, he genetically is different from all of us. But, I think you can make a name for yourself at home and capitalize on it. But, you know, that's also, it's probably a book of me going, please don't leave me. But the good thing is, when some go, opportunity opens for others.
Yes.
And Australia just keeps producing great talent everywhere.
Yeah, well, I say to the guys up here, so I'd love for you guys to give me the headache of having to rebook something because you got a massive opportunity. Because for me, it just makes where you've come from look better.
Absolutely. Like, it's... Well, how many times do you feel that... Like, I think part of the thing that galvanized the MCW audience was a sense of pride that they had when their home-based talent made it.
Mm.
You know, yeah. Like, you see them and you applaud for them and you're happy for them. And Matt Silver, Buddy Murphy was probably... And Tennille were the first ones to really get out there and make their names in WWE.
Yeah, because they get to see, they talk to their friends that are maybe wrestling fans but are only WWE fans, and they go, I saw that guy every month down at the Thornbury. He was there every month. It was amazing. We always knew he was going to make it. I do the same thing with Rhea Ripley, Demi Bennett.
Yeah. Oh, Demi, amazing.
I was like, one of my favorite things, when we first saw her do a tryout, I said to Cree, because Cree and I were booking RCW at the time, I said to him, well, we better try and get as much out of her as we can because she's going to be gone by the time she's 19.
I remember first hearing about Demi, and I got showed a photo or something. She had that look of, you know, that she'd be in a surf catalogue. You know what I mean? Like, she just looked amazing, and then you realize she could go in ring. And it was like, yeah, she's going. And she went quicker than I would have thought.
Well, she would have went even earlier, but she was too young.
Yeah.
The first time they did the tryouts is when Adam Pearce was in Adelaide working with RC Dub, and they turned her down for the tryout because she was too young. And he was just like, he was visibly like mad about that. He's like, don't worry about it. I'll make sure it happens. Just keep training. You'll be fine.
Yeah,
so I looked at Cree, then I went, yeah, we're screwed.
Yeah, and we have that now where we've got certain talent where you're like, we'll enjoy this while
you can.
It
lasts. Yeah.
And we'll get the... And sometimes you rush a little bit because you want to... you want to sort of maximize what you can do with them there and then, and sort of get that. But that's a good problem to have, as you said.
Yes.
Like the fact that so many shows can run in this country and draw good numbers, and the fact that so many talent are getting exposure overseas, not only exposure, but, you know, people want to take them, like Robbie Eagles. Like, here's an example of a longer game where we all knew Robbie was great for the longest time, and it's sort of taken until now for New Japan Pro Wrestling to formally bring him on board.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Brooksy. I don't know how he hasn't been picked up by somebody.
It has to be a matter of time.
Yeah.
Like, it's... I called Brooksy, Jonah, and Robbie the Pro Wrestling Gorilla 3, you know, like, they... I would be staggered if Brooks isn't picked up by somebody, particularly in this competitive environment where you've got AEW, you've got MLW, you've got Ring of Honor, you've got New Japan, you've got WWE. Like, there's so many different major promotions that can throw around a bit of money that people like that. It's
how someone with that much talent hasn't been snapped up by somebody is criminal, in my opinion.
Keep your hands off my slacks. but look, all you can do is be happy for them.
Yes.
You know, it's an amazing opportunity, and everybody's working really hard and deserve every bit of success that comes their way.
Mm. How did you actually get into the booking side of the business? Because for me, I just got, I got sort of, somehow I realized I was sitting in a booking meeting. I'm like, when did this happen?
Yeah, like for me, it was really weird. Back around the year 99, 2000, I sort of, with a mate, did that stupid thing where we were sitting on the couch getting stoned. It was like, we could do a better job than what they do with doing the show. And we pulled some money together and did an independent show, and it was a disaster. Right? Like, because you're sitting there, and it's a good, it was an amazing lesson to get, right? You sit there and you go, I can come up with stories and gimmicks. All I need to do is get a ring and get some wrestlers, and I can put on a show. How naive.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, we did that, and it was like, we're going to show all these, because wrestling was very, especially in Melbourne, still had its foot in the door of the World Championship Wrestling days of Festival Hall and stuff, where, like, the Italian Tank was running ACW and Jim Demirov was running the NWE, and those guys were wrestlers from that era. And, you know, Julio was wrestling, and, you know, the, Milano was still wrestling, and it was still, you know, you were, if you were billed from Macedonia, that made you a star. Like, it was still very old school in that regard, and we were like, you know, wrestling's progressed, we could do that. And it was terrible, and it was a disaster. And I also attempted to be a wrestler myself, and terrible and disaster is how I would describe it. There was no chance of me being the next Demi Bennett. And, but, you know, I was watching an NWE show, and Jim Demirov, to his credit, sort of said to me, I hear you've, because I was friends with some of the wrestlers, and he was like, I hear you've got some ideas. Would you like to come over to a booking meeting? That was like, and this was Melbourne's biggest promotion.
Mm.
And Jim was like, do you want to come over to a booking meeting? And this is why I always say, I give credit to Jim Demirov. That's amazingly silly and progressive. And I said, and being as arrogant as I was at 20, I was like, yes. And I walked in, and, you know, there was a wrestler called Psycho Kid Thunder in there. There was Jim. There was Peter Farrey and Gene Gatto, who were two sort of commentary institutions. I think maybe they invited Rowan in because he was doing website work for WWF Down Under. And I sort of sat in there, and I love telling this story of, I was just watching the lay of the land, and I suggested that Psycho Kid Thunder, who was a main event wrestler, I suggested a scenario where he'd face the IC champ and beat him and hold up both belts, right? Mm. And the second he heard that, every idea I had for the mid card was brilliant. And I was in. And we started sort of doing some sort of mid-card stuff with, I was in a group called The Players, which were young wrestlers, and there was another group called Vanity Inc. And sort of NWE, and back to the show I promoted, guess who the two big imports I had on my show?
I don't know who.
Two young wrestlers from PWSA called Jag and Havoc.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
And they were amazing on that show. Dealing with Robin from PWSA wasn't fun, but bringing them out. But yeah, the NWE sort of closed up shop, and through WWF Down Under and a few opportunities, Rowan got offered an opportunity to do All-Star Wrestling at Crown Casino. And Rowan knew I obviously was booking at Epping, and Rowan and I were friends, and I started booking there. And half of my stuff, like three quarters of my stuff, was just terrible. Like, I, you know, you don't get good at this until you make a lot of mistakes,
yeah,
and have a lot of experience. So the one thing that kills me is, I'd love me now at 40. Oh, I feel sick saying that.
Tell me about it.
To be able to have a show at Crown Casino and be able to book that now.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Like, I'd kill for that. But, you know, instead, in a, like a Benjamin Button type situation, we got offered an amazing opportunity at the age of 21 that we weren't mature enough to be able to handle. And, you know, it was okay. But it wasn't what it should have been. So sort of I don't want to say I was gifted getting into booking, but I was given an opportunity that probably you wouldn't normally be given, and I'm forever grateful.
Yeah.
You know, like Jim Demirov taking a chance on a smug, thinly haired blonde kid with blue eyes that thought he was better than everyone. You know, for Jim to sort of go, even though I'm old school and everything, this kid's got some ideas, we're going to listen to him.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Like, I don't know that I could do that. Like, I try to. Like, I've tried paying that forward. But it's also, I also think with booking, and you probably know this yourself, you either have an aptitude for it or you don't.
Yes. Yeah. You can tell certain people straight away, oh, this guy gets it.
Yeah. And because there's so much more to it than just sitting down and coming up with who beats who or who's going to end up with the championship. You know, you've got to learn to deal with personalities.
Yep.
You've got to work out people's weaknesses and strengths. You know, some people will be amazing wrestlers. Some people will be amazing promos. Sometimes you'll get the miracle of somebody being able to do both. You know, there's so much more to it that it takes a long time to be able to sort of get that right. And for me, I'm always working at my game and trying to perfect it. And I still make mistakes and I still don't get it perfect. But, you know, I've been in it for 20 years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's why when people, and I give credit to Mikey in, it's not easy for somebody who's the money man behind a promotion to go, I'm not going to play Booker.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
Because you're paying to play. A lot of promoters pay to play.
Mm.
You know, they can't wrestle, so they promote and they run shows so they can book and sort of have their chessboard out and move pieces and stuff.
Like playing like general manager at football. Like on the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like super coach.
Yes.
And for Mikey to be able to go, and Mikey and I have a long history, I guess he sees me as a mentor in certain ways, but for Mikey to be able to go, I know Fresh can do this and I'm going to allow him to do it, that's an incredible opportunity as well. So I've been really lucky in having Jim Demirov early on give me a shot that there's no way I deserved, was skilled to do, and learn on the job. To Rowan being afforded an amazing opportunity at Crown Casino, to Julian James going, wrestling is too serious, and I know a clown that's sitting on the bench that I'm going to bring up to book Wrestle Rock, to Mikey turning to me to help him with MCW sort of when a few key personnel left. It's all been luck and support from great people.
Hmm. You've also paid it forward because with Jay Andrews, bringing Jay on, because Jay, he's retired from wrestling now, hasn't he? Yeah, wow. Yeah, so you never know.
He says that. yeah, so I don't know if people know the story, but essentially MCW in mid-2013 had a lot of people leave. And it doesn't get talked about a lot because people love talking about, you know, their famous Chinese restaurant story. You know, MCW was a Chinese restaurant, which was the Dragonfly, and it was. But what happened was they lost the Dragonfly, right, which nobody talks about. MCW actually lost the Dragonfly. And they were at a place called the Tullamarine Public Hall, which was a side street in a suburb of Melbourne.
Yeah, I've been to that one.
Yep, it was had bright yellow walls. It looked like a mental asylum or an old hospital. It was a horrible, demoralizing place. They were averaging about 130 to 150 people in there. And Mikey and Tommy, who were running it at the time, didn't know what to do. Talent were really unhappy because some of the people that left, you know, if the talent believe in a certain structure and that structure goes, you're going to have problems. And I always joke people that I'm the Saddam Hussein of Melbourne's wrestling scene, in I keep all the terrorist organizations at bay and they're too scared to overthrow me. I'm a dictator wrestling needs, not what it wants. And sort of Mikey called me up and he said help, and I said no. interested in coming back. I don't, you know, it's a lot to deal with. You've got to deal with wrestlers and unhappiness and stress, and I don't want to. And he said, well, will you at least meet with us? And a story that nobody knows is I'm good friends with, as everybody knows, with Julian James. And I called Jules up, and Jules had left there too. And I said to him, Mikey wants me to come back and help. What do you reckon? And Jules will admit this now at the time. He said, it reminds me of WCW. There's no fixing it. Jeez. Is what he said to me. And that's all he had to say. And I was like, that sounds like the greatest challenge of all time. And I came back and I walked in, and they did, like, I think they did about 3 Thornbury shows a year and the rest were Tullamarine. And I walked in, Todd, and I was the least welcomed person that you would ever find, because I, in my younger days, I was full of bravado and piss and vinegar, and I got a kick out of rubbing people the wrong way. And I've learned a lot since then. And, you know, people were sort of like, what's his intentions? What's his motivations? Well, I'm not going to listen to what he has to say. Jay Andrews will tell you that's what he thought. And I sort of just watched the lay of the land. I saw what they were doing. I more started advising at first. And then Mikey was like, no, please take it. And handed it over. And it sort of became a slow rebuild. And Jay Andrews tore his bicep and got hurt. And James and I weren't friends. We knew of each other, but we'd barely spoken a few words to each other at all. And I said to Mikey, would you mind if I spoke to Jay and ask him, can he help me? Because what would help me is a ring general that could help match agent.
Yep.
And that way I can sort of focus on the nuances of story, and the boys will have somebody that they respect in ring that can help them put matches together.
Yeah.
And Mikey was all for that. And James agreed to do it, which I appreciated. And the odd couple sort of formed. And we should not work as co-workers. We shouldn't work as friends. Like, we're very different people. But the one thing we had in common was a similar wrestling sensibility. And we just clicked. You know, he knew what I wanted and I knew what he wanted. Yeah. And we knew what we had with talent. And sometimes in wrestling, I think you find people that just see things the way you see things.
Yeah.
You know, both of us, avid Bret Hart fans.
God bless you.
Yeah, we grew up on the same era of wrestling. And not a lot of promotions really used agents at the time, as silly as it may sound. It was, you mainly just had bookers and promoter bookers, and the boys sort of governed themselves. And we sort of started to put in a structure and sort of build things up. And I said to Mikey, we need to get out of Tullamarine. It's because you went from Thornbury to this massive show that looked incredible, because Thornbury Theatre is a beautiful venue.
Mm.
And if you thought, I'm going to go check out more MCW, you went back to the Tullamarine Public Hall and you were like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, like, and we really struggled, and eventually they found a venue in Essendon that was like a mini Thornbury, the Ukrainian Hall. Like, it wasn't great, but it was better than Tullamarine. And I said to them, you need consistency. I'll give credit to PCW. The one thing that PCW did was the same Saturday every month, they had their show.
Mm.
And I said to Mikey, pick a date, be it the second Saturday of every month, and consistently run and teach the fans.
Yeah.
That you can, you know, come back and we'll give you stories to follow and we'll build to things. Because the one thing MCW had a bad habit of was just randomly bringing in imports and it leading to nowhere and starting stuff and dropping it. And I just wanted consistency.
Mm.
And slow everything down. And Mikey afforded that opportunity. And it's taken 5-6 years. Like, and that's the thing, like, people, I think MCW were just gifted something or handed something. You know, where we've gotten to, that we still struggle and fight to sort of keep up with, took ages.
Yeah.
Took luck and hard work and fights and close to tears.
Also takes people like Mikey, who is in a business way really smart, from making the connections he has made.
Yeah, and investment of capital, like yes. money. Like that maniac takes risks I would never take. And I credit to him, like he yes. backs himself.
Yeah. You know, I wish I had the balls that he had.
Yeah, I do. Like I always say to you, I grew up in West Heidelberg's housing commission. And that's the problem. I think poor with money. So when yeah. it comes to spending, I'm like, oh no, I wouldn't spend that money. Where Mike's like, okay, like, and can I give you an example? A perfect example of that was, I don't know if you remember, we did a TMDK versus MCW feud.
Yes.
And I wanted to start it off with a bang, and I wanted Jonah and Muffins to come out as a surprise, which meant Mikey had to pay for flights and accommodation for a run-in for something unannounced
yeah.
that was going to go for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Muffins lives in Perth.
Yeah.
That's not a cheap flight to Melbourne. No. Jonah's in Adelaide. Mikey made the finance. I call it the most expensive run-in in Australian wrestling history. And they allowed it, but that surprise of them coming out and joining JAG and Slex turning and them dismantling the ring and destroying Edwin got as hot, you know, like, and any other promoter would have rightfully said, we can't justify spending that money
yeah.
on a run-in.
Yeah, you know, spending that money on something I can't advertise.
Yeah, you can't promote. Where Mikey was like, no, I believe in where we're going to go with this, because I gave him the end. Mm. Like, he knew where it was headed. And he was like, I believe this is going to be important for the company, and I'm willing to invest in it. Let's do it. And I couldn't believe he said yes. Because we can come up with all these great ideas if the promoter doesn't want to pay for it. You know,
yeah,
I'm done. Like, you know, I can book the greatest thing in the world, but it's up to Mikey to go, I want to make that investment. And that's where I give Mikey all the credit in the world for not just believing in me, but believing in the performers of MCW and his company. He backs it, like, and people don't give that enough credit.
No, hell no,
the kid's got balls.
Yeah,
it is
to negotiate, to be able to negotiate deals where, like, he works with Progress, he works with, like, New Japan. I mean,
and I don't know if people know that, like, the Progress deal Mikey put together, like, they worked with other promotions so they could do a tour around the country. But, you know, Mikey was the one that reached out to Jim, John, and Glenn from Progress.
Mm.
And sort of formed a relationship and worked. Like, and, you know, to pull back the curtain, Mikey drives me crazy. Like, he's got a hobo beard. He's a hipster. You know, like, he wears vests and dirty T-shirts everywhere.
And denim jackets.
Yeah, he's uncompromising on who he is. But I can't say it hasn't brought success.
No, because you know? He's and smart. At the end of the day, a smart person is a smart person.
Look, I think we're giving him a bit too much credit for the smart word. But he brave, definitely. But he's also surrounding himself with a team.
Yes.
That can help him, you know. Like, MCW, you know, sure, you've got Mikey's the owner, you've got James as talent relations, and you've got me as creative, and James and I run show day. But, you know, we've got Rhiannon and Anna and Rowan handling social media. We've got Joel and Hawko that help with front end and logistics and stuff. Like, for it to keep growing, you've got to put infrastructure in place.
Exactly.
And sort of,
you've got to be able to trust the people that you're putting in those places too.
And it costs a lot of money, and you've got to have the right people.
Mm.
And it takes years and takes a lot of work. And
that's something that people at home, they just, I don't think they understand it at all. Like, you've got that guy in Adelaide that ran Iron Fist, and I think he thought that. He thought, this is going to be easy. I'll book all these awesome guys. People will hear that these awesome guys are on my card. I'll sell out. And yeah, because
But that's no different from me when I did GOE in, like, 99. You know, like, I understand it. And the funny thing is, like, we've had a few promotions like that in Melbourne where they've popped up and perhaps, you know, gone out with a whimper, or, you know, they had grand ideas. The thing is, a lot of them have this complex where they go, people want to see us fail and we'll show them. And what I would say to that is no. Like, every failure is a black eye for all
of us. Yes, yeah.
And I want them, it may not, like, obviously I'm going to be competitive. If you ask me, is MCW the best promotion in the country? Yes, it is. Mm. You know, I will stand there and, you know, PWA and EPW can go fresh, can go to hell, and good on them, you know, and come get us. You know, like, it's a competitive market and we're all keeping each other on our toes, and that's what's great about wrestling at the moment. You know, we're all passionate, we're all talented, and we all want to prove their best. And yes, I will be the first to go, no other promotion can touch us in Melbourne, you know, and good luck if they try. I have to be like that to do my job. But does that mean I want promotions not to be drawing, for the guys not to have places to work to improve, for new ideas and concepts to be tried to succeed? If wrestling's successful, we're all successful.
Yes.
And, like, the WWE is the big example. Having one main big dog was only bad for wrestling.
Yeah.
It needed other things to thrive, so everything thrives, because it feeds then a rabid fan base that is passionate about the product and wants to get into everything. And when you have somebody come in and not hit it, you know, it just hurts. It hurts everyone.
Yeah,
you know, because,
well, at the moment, you hear you're like, everyone bags out WWE creative. ROH is gone to hell. AEW is going to be the savior for everyone. But I keep telling people, wait 6 months of AEW programming and see if you're not the same board as you are now with WWE. Because it's going to be the same. So the problem is, and the unique thing that they have at the moment with AEW is that they get 6 months to promote a show.
Mm.
When they have weekly television, they're going to have to start repeating matches.
Oh, I couldn't do what WWE does.
No, and, hell no. Hell no.
And it's what affects my love of wrestling today, like, as in mainstream wrestling. Like, I know a lot of young fans don't want to hear it because they've grown up that this is how it was. But in our, and it makes me sound old, and yes, I am old. in our time, you know, we had the big four pay-per-views here. And, you know,
and we didn't even see them for 3 months after they were.
Yeah, I was going to say, in Australia, we were starved. But even if you were in America, you know, you had weekly syndication of an hour show.
Mm.
And they were really to sell house shows.
But that hour show, too, you saw maybe one match of two credible guys against each other. Everything else was squash matches.
Oh, if on Superstars, if you got Tugboat versus Bull Payne, what a match.
Yes.
Where now, you know, you're getting Kofi Kingston versus Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
The night after WrestleMania that they've both been crowned.
Yeah.
You know, where Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior title for title was something that was years to build to.
Yeah, they started it at the Rumble with that face-off in the Rumble match.
Yeah, and that's why I think appreciation of independent wrestling is we've got time and space to breathe and slowly build stuff up. You know, I was able to build up Slex versus Geno over a year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, and sort of know where we were going to get to and what we were going to do. But yeah, I understand. WWE is right to be criticized in a lot of ways, but I also don't envy them.
No.
Because doing that many hours of content would just destroy you. Like, it's impossible to do.
Yeah.
Unless they bring back squashes and you can't do a three-hour show with squashes.
No, hell no. Yeah, no. I agree completely. I mean, but there are some things you can't forgive, like the Viking experience. But there are, like, just the fact that you have to book, what is it, five hours of TV main card, and then you've got whatever they have to do for NXT.
Yeah, but the other thing is, and once again, they get that immediate feedback and backlash, and it feeds and stuff. You know, like the Viking experience, is it a great name? No, it's awful. But you know, there's been plenty of awful names in wrestling that have eventually caught on.
That is true. You know, look at the New Day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what is that? Like, I still don't know how on earth the Big Show lasts that name. Lasted 20 years.
Yeah.
It, like, it's an awful name. Like, the Big Show. And sometimes this stuff just works, but I think that rabid thing, people feel personally violated these days by some of that thinking and some of those decisions. And there's also a culture, and I feel it locally, and I'm sure you feel it locally, that there's quite a large amount of people that cheerlead on the sidelines wanting failure.
Yeah.
Wanting to see cracks in the armor and wanting to see things go wrong. Whether they don't like certain people, whether this or whether that, whether politically they disagree with something. You know, there is a culture of wanting to see failure, which is a shame, because my favorite part of MCW is, and it's 90% of the audience, are those that play along.
Mm, yeah.
That, you know, they don't boo the cool heel. They don't cheer the cool heel. They don't boo the baby face. Yes. You know,
that annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah, like they're willing to play along. Like sometimes they just go with something and you have to follow it. You know, like sometimes the personality just won't click. But the credit I give the MCW fans, and it's why I adore them genuinely, is I've always had the benefit of the doubt from them.
Mm.
Of if I send somebody out in good faith, that it's somebody that they should cheer, for the most part, they get behind them.
Yeah.
And if they're out there and they get the sniff that they should be booing this person, for the most part, they boo them.
Mm.
And good on them, because that's the beauty of wrestling. Like, when I go and watch a movie, like, I can like Thanos, but I still want the Avengers to kick his ass.
Exactly. Like The Walking Dead. I love Negan, but I wanted to see him get his ass kicked.
And even Game of Thrones. You know, like, you love to hate Joffrey or Ramsay or Cersei. You know, but at the end of the day, if you don't get behind Jon Snow, you're doing it wrong. Our human history is we want to get behind the hero, and we ourselves want to be the hero. And like, it's fun to play the villain and get the booze, but deep down, the real art is being the hero that gets cheered.
Yeah, it's a lot harder to get cheered than it is to get booed.
Oh, baby faces are so brave.
Yeah. I would love to be a baby face, like a baby face manager. A, it's virtually impossible to do nowadays.
Yeah.
And B, it's times. Just hard to be liked, because your job is there to interfere.
Yeah, I always joke I was born heel. I think to be able to expose yourself and go, I hope you like me.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's that, like, you're really brave. And then for wrestlers, to be able to go out in your undies and go, you really like me. You know, wrestlers are braver than most. But
what annoys me the most is when a guy is really over as a face, comes to me and says, I want to turn heel. I'm like, do you realize how hard what you're doing right now is?
Yeah.
You've got that natural thing where people just, they automatically start liking you as soon as you walk through that curtain. That is really, really hard to do.
Yeah, and if you're going to turn someone that's really beloved, you better make it good.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
turning Gino wasn't easy to do. You know, like, because everybody loves Mr. Juicy.
Mm.
Like, they just did, like, you know, Gino, like, Adam's the lovable clown.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to take away every instinct, every likable quality of him. And, you know, it's not easy to do. And I agree with you, if you're a babyface that gets cheered, never give that up.
Yeah.
Number one, you'll always sell merch.
Yeah, yeah.
Number two, it's easy to be a heel. You know, it's easy to get people to dislike you and stuff. You know, I never perfected the art form of being cheered. And you know, it's a true baby face is a true artist, in my opinion.
Hmm. Well, sir, you've been a true babyface for coming on tonight, so I want to thank you. We have to cut this short because
yeah.
I know you have stuff on, but I definitely want to catch up with you and do a second part because this has been great. For people that want to follow you or catch up with you and follow your antics on Twitter and your podcast, because Geek Dudes is a great podcast. I caught the first episode I caught today because I honestly didn't really know that it was around. I really, really enjoyed the Shazam episode. So let them know how they can catch you and all that sort of
stuff. Okay, so on Twitter, I'm at CRISSFresh. I host the Geek Dudes podcast, which is very not safe for work. we talk about life, love, and like pop culture and geek stuff. And if you were a child of the 80s and 90s and liked Hey Hey It's Saturday, at Hey Hey Podcast on Twitter or facebook.com/ Hey Hey It's the Podcast. And wrestling-wise, which is why I'm here,
yes.
is Melbourne City Wrestling. We have a show coming up at the Thornbury Theatre on April 26th with Slex versus Robbie Eagles as the main event. Slex defending the Intercommonwealth and MCW World titles against Robbie. That match, I guarantee you, will be amazing.
Mm.
And I don't think it's been announced yet. I'll give you a bit of a scoop here.
Oof.
A bit of a scoop in that self-proclaimed greatest tag team in the world, the Brat Pack, will be defending their MCW tag team titles against the Street Gang Hooligans.
Oh, wow.
From EPW. When you go around calling yourself the greatest tag team, you have to expect that other teams that might have a claim to that as well might challenge you. And that match, I personally am looking forward to, because they are two tag teams that have captured Australia by storm, them along with the Velocities and the Pariah, are doing great things for tag team wrestling in this country. So I'm really looking forward to that. And Wrestle Rock on May the 4th at Melbourne's iconic Corner Hotel. If you enjoy drinking, Star Wars, being offended and fighting, then Wrestle Rock is for you, as we have CK Dowie, Wrestle Rock's most fashionable man, facing off against Mitch Waterman for the Wrestle Rock heavyweight title. We've got Mad Dog versus Richie Taylor, and we have Loverboy Lockie Hendricks versus Avery in a Kiss My Ass match, where Loverboy claims either way he can't lose, because she's either going to have to kiss his ass or he gets to kiss hers. So Melbourne, prepare to be offended.
Yeah, the one big regret I had, because I went down to Melbourne for the WWE weekend and caught New Horizons, but I was too bloody hungover to actually go to Wrestle Rock. That's the one real regret I had of that weekend.
Well, Wrestle Rock, that was a rough day.
Yes, yes, I heard.
Yeah, it was a middle of the day show, which we'd never done. And I always do a thing where I raise my glass to the crowd just to see how drunk they all are. And I was convinced not too many people are going to be drinking. Showdown was that night and stuff. And I did my cheers to the crowd, and every hand shot up with a half-drunk drink in the hand. And I was like, wow, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon,
yeah,
and the crowd are hammered. God love them.
Yeah. Good luck, WWE security.
Yeah, exactly right. I was like, half of these people aren't going to make it to on the MCG. So, yeah, we've got some exciting things. There's MCW Girl. There's I don't know where we're finding time to do all these shows.
Yeah, I want to get you back on, especially to talk about Girl too, because it's really a great concept that you've got going on over there now.
Yep, credit to Mikey J on that one.
Of course. Yep. Chris Fresh, thank you so much for joining me, mate.
No, thank you for having me on. It's been a fun chat.
People say having an opinion is like having a penis. It's really great for you, but you shouldn't share it around. That's exactly what we don't do. We share it all about the internet. And in fact, we advertise it on other people's podcasts so that they can go and enjoy it as well. Am I talking about penises, or am I talking about opinions on film? To find out, you'll have to go to our website, secondtakepodcast.com, or find Second Take Podcast on your podcatcher of choice.
It's now time for where the action is around the country. And even though it's Easter weekend, there are still a few shows going on around the country. On Good Friday in Victoria, PCW are doing their Good Friday Appeal Wrestling Show. It's at the Southeastern Entertainment Centre. Tickets are $20 at the door. Proceeds going to the Royal Children's Hospital. So get it there and support that cause. If you can't get out there on Good Friday, go and check them out on the Saturday for PCW Ignition. It is again at the Southeastern Entertainment Center, and the tickets, you can get your tickets online for that one at pcw.com.au. Also in Victoria on Saturday night, Gold Class Wrestling have Revenge at the Geelong West Town Hall. Andy Phoenix is defending his title in the main event for that one. Tickets for that at eventtopia.co. So get out to there and support that if you're in Victoria. In WA on Good Friday, Schwa have Long Live the Kingsley at the Creator Wrestling Workshop, Unit 1025 Hanson Street in Maddington. Tickets for that one, or information for tickets for that one, are at Schwa Wrestling, SHWAWrestling.com.au. Also on the Friday night is NHPW Slaughterhouse Show 32 at the NHPW Slaughterhouse, Unit 115 Keats Road in Armidale. Tickets for that one are at PerthWrestling.com.au. Plenty going on in Perth in that weekend. And that is it this weekend for where the action is. I guess because it is Easter weekend, maybe there are a lot. Maybe they're afraid people are going to be going away on holidays and that sort of jazz. So there's not too many shows going on. But if you are in Western Australia or in Victoria, go and check those shows out. If you're bored at home in the family and you've got nothing to do, get out there and support local pro wrestling in your area. Any promotions that want this show is mentioned here on Where the Action Is, hit us up on our Facebook or email me at WrestleRadioAustraliaTodd@gmail.com, and we'll mention you in an upcoming episode, or book me and I'll definitely mention it because I am a massive shill for myself. And that is Where the Action Is this weekend. Once again, big thanks to my guest, Chris Fresh. Amazing to sit down and talk to a guy that is this knowledgeable about Australian wrestling and booking philosophies and all that jazz. And we didn't even scratch the surface of stuff that I wanted to talk about. So I definitely want to get him back on for a part two. And hopefully we can do that in the near future. If you haven't already, though, guys, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free and you can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears. Share the show. Spread the word about professional wrestling in this country. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search out Wrestle Radio Australia, and on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU, or me personally at Beast Eastman. Remember, we do have our Wrestle Radio Australia shirts up on redbubble.com. Just search out Redbubble in the search out Wrestle Radio Australia in the search engine of Redbubble, and purchase. You can get stuff on coffee cups, t-shirts, any color t-shirt you want. All proceeds from the sale of those shirts, coffee mugs, what have you, go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, two charities that I really do support. They all about talking about problems and all that sort of stuff, anxieties, and Gotcha for Life especially is something that's near and dear to my heart because they do go to schools and talk to young men especially about talking with each other about their feelings and not holding stuff in and until it gets too big that they can't deal with it, and then they end up doing something silly like hurting themselves in some way, shape or form. And that's something that has become somewhat of an epidemic in Australia, and we do need to stamp it out, and Gotcha for Life are really doing good work in that area. So any sale that goes from Wrestle Radio Australia shirts, coffee mugs, blah 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 at Redbubble, proceeds go to them. I don't see a cent of it, and I'm fine with that, to be perfectly honest with you. And to send us out, we have Promoland. And this Promoland as well, it's a guy you don't hear a lot about, but you should because he's amazing. He's world's finest, Carter Deems. Now, oftentimes he gets somewhat overshadowed by his tag team partner and the Babes, Matty Wahlberg, but this promo you'll hear right here is really, really good. And he talks about the story going into his match with Matt Rogers at Nui Pro for the Nui Pro title. And that'll do us for this episode of Wrestle Radio Australia. We'll catch you next week. I'm Todd Eastman.
Remember when they chose me? Remember when I came back from the dojo and I had to carry the company? Because the champion decided he didn't want the title anymore? Remember when I helped you win that cage match? And I did it all with a broken arm? Or did you forget that part? I need you to imagine being me, Matt Rogers. I need you to imagine wrestling with no feeling in your right arm. I need you to imagine wrestling knowing that if anything goes wrong, you'll be out of New Japan in a heartbeat. Because I did it anyway. Now I need you to imagine messaging New Japan. Being on the phone with the underboss. Like, I'm sorry, Fale-san, but I'm not going to be ready in time by the time you want me. Because I spent the last 5 months wrestling with a broken arm. Because I had to play champion when our champion walked out. That's why I'm going to win, Matt Rogers. Because there's nothing you can put me through that will compare to what I've been through. You tell me to not poke the bear. Like you don't think I know what you're capable of? 2 years undefeated, probably the most dangerous man in Australia. But then there's me. I never stopped being great, Matt Rogers. I'm still the best young wrestler in the entire country. I know I don't hit hard like you do. I'm not a mat technician, and I don't fly as good as some of those middleweights. But when it comes to mixing shit up in the ring, there's nobody as good as me in Newcastle Pro Wrestling, and I mean that. You can parade around with that title and believe you're the champion, but ever since I got home, I've really been at the top. I've been the top dog, and May 4th, I get the prize. You better be prepared to go to war, because I've been preparing for a long time, and Matt Rogers, you better be prepared to kill me, because I will die for Newcastle. I got cold.